Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Welcome, saints, to our Seed Time and House broadcast. I'm Bishop Hutchinson. I'm blessed and privileged to have another opportunity to come speak life to you. We're excited as we approach another season of acknowledging the birth of our Savior and a new calendar year. And I speak life and favor over each and every one of you. We declare that 2016 will be the year of good success. So I encourage each and every one of you to come and let us reveal the kingdom of God there. There's a revival taking place within the church, and we want to do our part to help restore worship and to reveal lives with the Word of God. So if you'd like to partner with us, we'd love to have you on this journey with us in the year 2016, where we're looking for at least 200 new partners to help us take this gospel to more people and more places. So today we're going to be studying a lesson entitled The Incarnation. The Incarnation, subtitled The Word Made Flesh. And so I pray that you will be encouraged as you tune in to this week's broadcast, and that your life will be changed and transformed, that you will be energized in your faith and renewed in your sense of purpose in life today. If you're going to be taking notes with us, I'm going to give you our key verse as well as our central truth in just a moment. But again, I want to announce that, you know, our Grace Bible College and Seminary classes are available online by correspondence and in the classroom here in the Atlanta metropolitan area when we have at least 10 or more students. We also are excited about those graduates from other nations who are enrolled in the school, our students from Miramar, which is Burma. We encourage you and welcome you into the GBCS family as well. You can also join us for Cell Church Fellowship right here in Forest Park, Georgia, every Saturday at 10 a.m. And so there's a lot of things going on. You can visit our main website at Amazing Grace Ministries, agministries.net, or you can contact us by phone at 678-278-9622. God bless you. Now let's get into our key verse for today's lesson, which is entitled The Incarnation, The Word Made Flesh. And we're going to be looking at a key verse from John chapter 1, verse 14. We'll read both the King James Version as well as the New International Version. John chapter 1, verse 14 reads, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The NIV reads, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Our central truth today is God's purpose in the incarnation was to reveal himself through Christ. Let us get a word of prayer and thanks and acknowledge the coming of our Savior. Father, we thank you. We exalt you. We say hallelujah to your name. We're so grateful and thankful for the precious gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave us the opportunity to inherit eternal life. We thank you for all those who have embraced him as the Savior of the world. We thank you for their life in this earth. May you give them peace and joy and hope and love. We pray for those who are yet to understand and accept Jesus for who he is, and we pray that their hearts will be touched today, that their minds will be transformed, and that they will receive the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ, into their lives today. So we thank you and praise you in advance for all of your works through your Spirit, O God, for healing, for provision, and for salvation. In Jesus' Master's name, hallelujah and amen. Praise the Lord. Again, thank you. I welcome you to our Seed Time and Harvest broadcast. Now, as I mentioned to you earlier, the subject of our lesson today is the incarnation. That is, the Word was made flesh. And we're going to focus on the fact that we need to believe that God became flesh in Christ and received him as Savior and Lord. And the study text that we're going to be using for this week's lesson is coming from the book of John. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. And there are at least three points of outline that I want to discuss with you in this lesson today. If you're taking notes, you can write these things down. The first point I'd like to make with you is the eternal word. In that first section, we'll talk about before the beginning Jesus was, and that there is life and light in him. The second point of outline I'd like to discuss with you is the true light, how we should witness to the light and respond to the light, which is Jesus. And the third and final point that I'd like to discuss with you today is the Word made flesh. In that final section, we will talk about God among us and how we are blessed by his grace. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's get ready to prepare for our first point of outline as you study along with us. We always want you and encourage you, saints, to have your Bible, your paper, pencils, so that you can be prepared to take notes and search the scriptures right along with us today. Now, as we think about this week's lesson, the incarnation, what might be the response if Jesus had been born 30 years ago and was just coming onto the scene today? If most of us think about that, we probably would not be prepared to expect or to recognize him. And some of the reasons why that is true is because it is easy to lament the sinful state of our current world. Yet humanity has always needed Jesus, past, present, and in the future. We see in today's lesson that Jesus entered the world in fulfillment of numerous prophecies. We even talked about how the Messiah's birth was prophesied or foretold in last week's lesson. Many people since that time and today, we pray, and more tomorrow will embrace him. But also we realize that many more people have rejected Jesus. So the same word which was true in the past is true for the day. We still need Jesus. And we need to embrace the prophetic evidence that has been given to us through the scriptures, and we must accept him as Messiah, and we should also be able to rejoice in God's promises because Jesus is indeed with us even today. Someone say with me, Emmanuel, God is with us. And so as we study this week's lesson about the incarnation, how the Word was made flesh, we understand that because God became a man and dwelt among us, we have beheld his glory, we beheld his beauty. Jesus has pointed us the way back into the Father, and it's very significant that we get a chance to celebrate his birth and the fact that he revealed himself to us. Now, another thing I want you to imagine before we get into the first outline is, I want you to imagine for a moment some of the benefits that you have from learning about who Jesus is. I want you to think about that as we celebrate this time of year, which is called Christmas, think about what it means to you as a believer. Think about how some people respond to that statement who are skeptics. Many people who may not know Jesus may ask, who is Jesus? They may ask, why should I follow a man born 2,000 years ago? Well, today I pray we can answer some of those questions because the book of John offers compelling evidence and wisdom as we endeavor to address these types of issues. So let's go ahead and take a look at our first point of outline, which is coming from the book of John, book of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And we're going to look at some text that will point us to the truths that we want to understand about the eternal Word of God. Someone said we the eternal Word. So let's see John's account. In John 1, verse 1 reads, from the NIV, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We see here in John's gospel that he begins by referring back to what we call eternity past. That is, before even the first act of creation. John states that there, before time and eternity, was Jesus. And this is a critical truth concerning the one whose birth we celebrate this Christmas season. You see, it says that Jesus had no beginning, that he is God. He always was God, and he will always be God. So through this point, children of God, John introduces us to the true wonder of the incarnation, which is God made flesh. And so we want to add to this truth the realization that it is through Jesus that all things were created, as it says in verse 3. Already in the previous verses we have read, we recognize this connection to our world. This is a connection more fully expressed in the declaration, in him is life and light, as mentioned in verse 4. So we see, children of God, that all life we could ever hope to experience, physical or spiritual, comes through him. The same is true of life. Verse 5 introduces us to the great conflict between spiritual light and darkness, between truth and deception that has gone on through the ages. So as we recognize this coming holiday season called Christmas, it is used to celebrate the outcome of this conflict, which is the light of Christ has entered the world, and the darkness of sin cannot defeat it. I think about the words of the great Christmas carol entitled, O Come, All Ye Faithful. It guides us toward the only worthy response to such truth when it says, Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing, O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. So I want you, children of God, to think about how a deeper understanding of who Jesus is can impact the way you celebrate this Christmas season. Praise the Lord. Today we're talking about the incarnation. The Word became flesh. So our first point of outline, we talked about the eternal Word, how in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So let's understand more about this eternal Word. Let's understand more about how God became man and what that means for humanity today. Our second point of outline is the true light. Let's look at John chapter 6. John chapter 1, verse number 6 through 13. Verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself, verse 8, was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came, verse 11, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. So here we see the continuation of John's revelation of the eternal Word of God, which is how God wrapped himself in a flesh and blood human being and manifested himself through the birth of Christ our Savior. We see in these texts that we just read that John used a charismatic messenger named John the Baptist to proclaim Jesus as the light of the world. We see that in John 1, verse 6. And we also note that John drew a great following among the Jews. In fact, the scripture teaches us that many even reached the conclusion that John was the Messiah. But he quickly crushed such a notion, declaring that Jesus is the light of the world. Someone said to me, Jesus is the light of the world. But just as many people have pointed to others as the source of their deliverance, sadly, much of the world rejected Christ when he walked on this earth, just as he is so often rejected today by many. We also see in John's writing that he noted the tendency of humanity to turn away from Christ, emphasizing that even his own people, the Jews, chose darkness over light in verses 10 and 11. You see, the people of his time expected a Messiah who would deliver them from Roman bondage. Many of the Jews could not comprehend a Savior born into humble, lowly means to be the sacrificial lamb that takes away the sin of the world. But in the midst of their disbelief and unbelief, not everyone turned away from Christ's message of light and truth. Scripture tells us also that many Jew and Gentile alike did receive him. To those, he gave an indescribable gift, the right to become children of God. And it is a relationship based not upon lineage, but upon the will and the mercy of God. Oh, saints, today I want you to know that Jesus still offers such light today. Anyone who calls upon him will experience what it means to be God's child. That's the glory of Christmas, a message we must share with all who need to hear it. So as we think about what John says about the eternal word, as we think about John says about the true light, how can you declare the light of Christ coming this Christmas season? Hallelujah. Let's take a look at our third and final point of outline. As we continue this lesson about the incarnation, the word was made flesh. That's our third and final point, and we'll see it in John chapter 1, verses 14 through 18. Let's continue reading. Verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 15 says, John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has been made known to us. Oh, we see in this final outline, children of God, and not only is Jesus, or was Jesus, the eternal Word that was with God before the creation of the world, all things of creation exist because of him. And because all things in the world exist because of him, Jesus Christ is the only true representative that could qualify to be the light of this world. And the way he revealed himself, the way God revealed himself to us, was through the birth of this baby, Jesus, who was God incarnate, that is, God made flesh, so that we can see and behold and understand the perfect will of God. So we see previously in John chapter 1, verse 1, we were introduced to the concept that Jesus is the Word. That is, that Jesus embodies and manifests the life, power, and love of God. We understand also that through him we come to know God and his love. God the Father has spoken to us through his Son Jesus. So that's why we see in John's text that he began to unfold that mysterious reality in greater detail in verses 14 through 18. He says that Jesus didn't cease to be God at nativity. Instead, God dwelt with us as an expression that mirrors God dwelling in the tabernacle during the Old Testament times when he dwelt in the form of Jesus Christ. We need to understand today, children of God, that by taking on flesh and humbling himself, Jesus lavished grace on all humanity. His blessings, beginning with salvation, can be experienced by his people every day, not only Christmas Day, but it can be experienced every day, thanks to God. And I pray it will be so in your life. Oh, we need to understand, and I pray today that you will grab the whole of this message, that the Christmas message is a celebration of liberty, of freedom from sin and the penalty of sin. Help us to understand that Christmas is a message that humanity does not and cannot reach God through their own righteousness. Instead, the Christmas message teaches us that God reached down to us through Jesus so that we can come to know God, to experience his grace and love. I want you to know, saints, that Jesus, the little baby that we celebrated lying in a manger, showed us the truth that answers the questions of life that would otherwise seem impossible. I want you to think about in what ways does Christ's coming demonstrate the grace of God to you? Grace is undeserved favor. It's the receiving of something that you do not deserve. What does it mean to you, saints of God? In conclusion to this week's lesson, saints, we realize that sadly many things can obscure the true meaning behind Christ's birth. Often it becomes a celebration of things, humanity values, rather than a declaration of God's precious promises. Yet so many need to hear the message of this word who became flesh today. The skeptics need to discover that Jesus is real. The lost and hurting need to experience God dwelling within them. And even those who have embraced the truth often find themselves challenged by doubt and discouragement. Well, saints of God, Christmas is a powerful reminder that God is full of mercy and grace. He cared enough to take on flesh for our sakes. So I pray that you will take this Christmas season to pray for those who haven't yet found what Christmas is really about. And let's give God the praise for the incredible, unending grace that has brought peace and salvation into our lives. Today we talked about the incarnation, the Word made flesh, the greatest gift that we could ever receive is Jesus this year. So, saints of God, I thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity to come into your home. May the message of Christmas be proclaimed far and wide. But most importantly, may it be proclaimed in your heart as we make the declaration, O come all ye faithful, and let us adore him, Christ the Lord. God bless you, saints. We love you, and we bless you. In Jesus' Master's name, amen.